We're going to talk this morning about supernatural provision. Supernatural provision. That even in the hard times in our lives, God has provision. And God will take care of us. And God will provide. So we want to look at that today. And we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture that most of you know, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And this scripture says, "My God will meet all your needs." Do you see that? The Lord will meet or supply all of your needs according to what? According to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. He will meet our needs, not according to my resources, not according to your resources, but according to his resources, according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And what that means is that Jesus, through his atoning work, has appropriated for us what we need. He has appropriated salvation. He has appropriated healing. He has appropriated deliverance. He has appropriated provision to meet your needs, the needs of your life. So this is your promise. My God will meet my needs. Say that. My God will meet my needs. He promised that. He said that he would supply everything that I had need of according to his riches and glory. I want to look at a few things this morning that we sometimes, situations we sometimes get into, where to show you how God meets the needs of our lives. And the first one I want to look at is Abraham and Isaac in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 13. If you want to look that passage of scripture up, you can. But here he shows that there is a ram provided in the thicket for Abraham. And what I want to say to you this morning is there is a ram in your need. God has provided something for your need. Now, here's the background on that. God had told Abraham to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice, his only son. And he dearly loved Isaac, as you can imagine. But God said, "I want you to offer him to me." And it was a test. It was a test of faith. And so Abraham, with a heavy heart, Abraham decided he would be obedient. And he told Isaac, "Come with me. We're going to make a sacrifice to the Lord." And on their way to the mountain to make the sacrifice to the Lord, Isaac looked around and he saw that they had everything they needed except one thing. They didn't have a sacrifice. They didn't have a ram. They didn't have a lamb. They didn't have the animal for the blood sacrifice. And Isaac looked at his father and he said, "Dad," he said, "we've got everything that we need, but we don't have the sacrifice." And Abraham's heart must have just, you know, he's looking at his son. His son is the sacrifice. At least he thinks that. And his heart must have just fell. And Isaac is looking at him with those big, trusting eyes. "Where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham spoke a very prophetic word that I want you to hear this morning. He said, "The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide a sacrifice." And in the Hebrew, what he did was he looked at his son and said, "Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is our provider." He spoke the name of the Lord, Jehovah Jireh. Just speak that in your heart. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. The Lord is my provision. And he spoke that prophetic word to Isaac. And when they got into the mountain and he had prepared everything and he had to lay Isaac down for that sacrifice. And just as he was about to go through and show God he could pass the test of faith, the Lord stopped him and he heard that bleeding ram caught in the thicket. And he turned and he saw the sacrifice was already there. I want you to see that this morning. The sacrifice was already there. The sacrifice was waiting on him. He prophetically spoke and said, "God will provide the sacrifice." And that means that God has provided for you even before you got to your place of need. Before Abraham got to his place of need, there was a ram caught in the thicket. God had already provided for him. So you hear that word today. Before you get to your place of need, God has already made provision for you. Before you get to your place of need, there is provision waiting for you. God is ahead of you. The Bible says he knows what we have need of even before we ask. God knows what our needs are. There's a lot of people right now with a lot of needs. We're going through one of the most difficult times this country's gone through since World War II. And God knows right where you are. God knows your needs. He knows what you have need of. So the Word of God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to learn how to trust the Lord and lean not to your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. What that means is follow the Lord. Abraham followed the Lord and God was waiting for him. Abraham followed the Lord and God was ahead of him. Abraham followed the Lord and God took care of him. Amen? And that's what we have to learn. Follow the Lord. Now you go your own way. Abraham could have gone a lot of different ways and that changes everything. But because he followed the Lord, sometimes we get angry at God because it doesn't seem like he showed up. But can we truly say we followed the Lord? Can we truly say we went God's way? No, we usually went our way and got in trouble and then we get angry at God. We get angry at God because we went our way. You got to go God's way. Follow the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Follow the Lord and He will direct your paths. And go that way. Go the way He directs. Go the way He says. And when you do that, He will provide for you. He will take care of you. The next thing I want you to see is there is rain in your drought. We've all gone through dry places. We've all gone through difficult places before when it seemed like the rain stopped and provision stopped and blessings were cut off and we were going through that dry place. Maybe you went through a dry place materially or physically. Maybe you went through a dry place spiritually. Seemed like, you know, God was hiding somewhere. It's like you had a hard time praying, you had a hard time worshiping, and just you felt so dry on the inside. But that's when God loves to send the blessing. That's when God loves to send the rain. That's when the Lord wants you to lean on Him. Elijah had been preaching through this time of drought. God had been providing for him. And Ahab, of course, was out to kill him. And it was just, it was a hard time. But in the midst of that, because they were obedient, because Elijah was obedient to the Lord, and the fire of God fell, and then God released the blessing. And Elijah said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. He looked on the horizon and he saw something. And here's what I want you to hear today from the Lord. You may have been looking on the horizon and say, I don't see anything. I don't see anything in my future. I don't see any blessings ahead of me. I don't see good things ahead of me. It looks kind of bleak, but I want you to look again. I want you to look again and I want you to look with eyes of faith. I want you to look with a heart of faith. And I want you to look because I promise you, if you're following the Lord, there's a cloud there. There's a cloud there. God has something for you on the horizon. And in the midst of their drought, when they desperately needed rain, God put that cloud. And what did Elijah say? I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Those are ears of faith. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. So you may think your future looks bleak. You may think there's not much out there. But I want you to look again and I want you to look through eyes of faith. I want you to hear through ears of faith. I want you to look through the Word of God and look on the horizon. And on the horizon, if you look through faith, you can say, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Blessings are coming. You hear what I'm telling you today? Blessings are coming. I believe that. And we might look at grocery store shelves, we might look at closed businesses, we might look at all the difficulties around us, but we need to look again. And we need to look through eyes of faith. And we need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we need to keep our eyes on Him. And we need to look at the horizon and see what God sees. And if we can see what God sees, we can say with faith, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I hear blessings coming. I hear thunder. I see clouds gathering. I see that God is preparing a blessing. And I am believing with all my heart that we're going to see the hand of God through all of this. And I'm believing on the other side of it, the rain is going to begin to fall. I'm believing on the other side of this, blessings are going to come. And I want you to believe that with me, that God is going to bless. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And what the enemy has stolen, the Lord will give back in abundance. You may feel like the enemy's robbing from you right now. But God will give back in abundance what the enemy has stolen. The other thing I want you to see, that God supplies all of our needs, that there is a blessing at the bottom of your sea. There is a blessing at the bottom of your sea. Jonah was running from the Lord simply because he didn't like the Ninevites. He had some prejudice in his heart, and he didn't want to go preach there. I don't want to preach to those people. I don't like those people. They're mean. They're ungodly. I don't want anything to do with them. And I don't want, and so he ran from the Lord. We've all run from God, right? Times when you know it, just what God wanted you to do and you didn't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. That's not what I want to do, but it's what God wanted him to do. So Jonah ran. God, I'm not doing it. And he found a ship and he said, I'll set sail, go somewhere else. I'll get away from here. Get away from Nineveh. Get as far away as I can. And he gets on the ship. They get in a bad storm. And in the course of the storm and being on the ship, everybody on the ship finds out that Jonah's running from God. Everybody on the ship finds out that God's mad at Jonah, that Jonah's kind of sideways with God. And they're like, you know what? Jonah's our problem. Jonah's the problem. And some of them are like, well, we can fix that real easily. We get rid of Jonah and maybe this storm will calm down. So that was their solution. Just get rid of Jonah and throw him overboard, get rid of him. And some of you may feel that way today. You may feel like you've been thrown overboard. You feel like everybody ganged up against you. Everybody accused you wrongly. Everybody attacked you. And the whole solution was, let's get rid of them. Let's ignore them. Let's get away from them. Let's throw them overboard. And you may feel like that's what's happened to you today. Life was going good. Everything was, and then all of a sudden, you're just thrown overboard. You're neglected. You're forgotten. You're cast out. But I love what the Bible says. They threw Jonah over in that storm, in that deep sea. But this is what the Word of God says. Hear this word. But God prepared a great fish. That is so good. The eye of God was constantly watching. The eye of God was on Jonah, even though he was running, even though he was where he wasn't supposed to be. God was ever watching him. And God prepared what? God prepared a rescue. Amen? God prepared a rescue. God prepared a way for Jonah to be saved. And we love to tell the story about Jonah and the whale, but the Bible doesn't say it was a whale, so it was a great fish. So we don't know just what it was. But anyway, it was his method of rescue. God had a safety net prepared. You know, you watch those guys walk across those high wires. I can't imagine doing that without a safety net. Sometimes they do, but most of the time they have a net to catch them. Folks, you have a net under you. You may feel like, man, I'm out here on my own and I just don't know what, but God's got a net under you. God's got a safety net under you. The love of God will always keep you, will always sustain you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will walk with you. He will catch you when you fall. He's right there. Amen. So let's not be worried and let's not be fearful. Let's know that God has a safety net. God will prepare. God will do what he needs to do to get you out of the situation. That's just the way God works. If he needs to turn stones into bread, if he needs to make water flow out of a rock, whatever he needs to do, God will provide. If he needs to bring the coin out of a fish's mouth, God will provide. If he needs to touch and heal in certain ways, he always comes through. God is faithful. So remember that God has prepared a way of rescue. God wasn't through with Jonah. God still had a work for Jonah. And he ended up being thrown up on dry land, you know, by that great fish. And there's no telling what he looked like when he came out of the belly of that great fish. He was bleached from the acid of his stomach and his hair and seaweed all over him. There's no telling what he looked like. And then he went straight to Nineveh and started going, repent, repent. And if a guy walked in looking like that, hollering, repent, we'd probably all repent. But God used him. He wasn't through with him. God's not through with you. God's not through with you. He still has a plan. He still has a purpose. God's not through with his church. God is not through with us. He's gonna catch us. He's gonna sustain us. He's gonna see us through. The next thing I want you to see is there will be an earthquake in your prison. Amen. There will be an earthquake in your prison. Paul and Silas found themselves in prison. They found themselves arrested for preaching the gospel, for being obedient to the Lord. Found themselves in stocks and bonds, chains and shackles, bound up. The enemy had thrown them into prison. You may feel like that's where you are right now. You may feel like you're in shackles, you're in chains. You may feel like you're trapped. You may feel like you're in prison, that everything has gone wrong and that you're just captive to something. Maybe there's a habit. Maybe there's an addiction. Maybe there's something in your life and you're just bound by it. And you're just bound by it. And the enemy has locked you into prison and thrown away the key. And he says, I've got you. Now you belong to me. But I want you to know something. The enemy may have locked you up. The enemy may have tried to put you in a prison. He may be trying to hold you captive this morning, but hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. God delivers the captives. God sets free those who are bound. That's the heart of God, is to deliver and to break the power of the enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. But the word of God says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. That through the word of God, we are casting down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, breaking chains and shackles and shattering them and setting you free. What did Paul and Silas do? The Bible says they sang praises to God. They worshiped. There is power in worship. There is power in worship. You know why? Because worship ushers in the presence of God. And when Jesus shows up, everything changes. When Jesus shows up, it all changes. The presence of God. The devil can't stay around. Demons can't stay around. Sickness can't stay around. The presence of God changes everything. But we need to learn to live in the presence. And we don't do that. We come into his presence at times. We come in on Sundays. We come in, you know, we come in on worship days. We come in, you know, and we experience the presence for a little while. We experience the glory for a little while. And while we're in that glory, while we're in that power, it's so awesome. Imagine living that way. Imagine walking in it. Imagine cultivating the presence of God every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, not just Sunday, but walking in the presence of God, getting up and experiencing God's presence, experiencing God's presence when you go to bed at night. Walking in the presence of God will shatter the chains and shackles of your life. It will make a difference. Learn to cultivate worship. Just learn to stay in the word of God and in the presence of the Lord and walking in that presence. There's no prisons. There's no prison. There's no shackles. There's no chain strong enough to hold you. You're a child of God. And no matter what the devil has devised for you or planned for you, what scheme or strategy, God is greater. Amen. And the last thing I want to say this morning is there will be bread for your empty basket. There will be bread for your empty basket. In John chapter 6, we see the story about when Jesus multiplied the bread and the fishes and fed all the people, and he took care of them. When it didn't look like, when they came and they said, Lord, we don't know what we're going to do. All these people are hungry. 5,000 men. So there were women and children. It was 5,000 plus their families. So it was a good 15, maybe 20,000 people. And they were like, how do we feed them all? How do we do this? We've been out here so long and they're hungry. And Jesus said, feed them. Feed them. And they were like, Lord, how can we do that? How can we make that provision? But Jesus was trying to teach them a powerful lesson. And he took what Andrew offered. He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fishes and he multiplied them. And all the people were fed. This is what I want you to see. When they got through feeding all the people, there was bread left over. There was an abundance. He didn't just feed the number that was there. He provided extra. He provided an abundance He will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we are not even able to contain. He is able to do above and beyond what we can even imagine, that God is a God of abundance. When the Lord told the woman to bring your vessel so they would be filled with oil, he told her, bring a lot of them. Don't just bring one, don't just bring two, bring a lot of them. And they were all filled up. And you got to wonder, if she'd have kept bringing pots, God would, the oil would have kept pouring. What are you bringing today? What are you, and what I mean by that is, what are you expecting? What you bring, the size vessel that you bring, is the size of your faith and your expectation. So what did you come expecting today? Just a little bit? Did you come expecting just God to do this thing or this little thing? No. Let's come expecting a miracle. Let's come expecting greatness. Let's come expecting the awesome, the extraordinary, because he's a big God. We sell God short. We expect small things. We're satisfied with, we should start expecting the miraculous. We should start expecting big things from God. He will open up the windows and pour out a blessing. God will fill your baskets. God will fill you to overflowing. David said, I was young and now I'm old. Now I'm old, but I'll tell you this, I've never, never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God is faithful. God is faithful. And he will see us through this. But we have to come with great expectation. My God will supply all of my needs according to what? His riches. Not mine and not yours, his. He has an abundance. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God is a rich and abundant God. God is a God who has a heart for his people. He wants to meet your needs. Jesus said, if you as heavenly fathers know how to take good care of your children, how much more does your Father in heaven? Amen. Consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Or consider the fowls of the air. They neither reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. If your heavenly Father cares enough about all of this, how much more will he care for you? He knows what you have need of. He knows. Think not about tomorrow, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you wear. Your Father knows you have need of all these things. Amen. Amen. So God will bring my supernatural provision. He will be ahead of me and take care of me. There will be the ram waiting for me that I need. When I go through the dry place, the rain and the blessing will come if I keep my eyes on Jesus and keep my eyes focused on the promise and on the horizon. I may be tossed aside and find myself at the bottom of the sea, but God has planned a way of rescue. And even when I'm at my lowest, God will come through for me. I might find myself in chains and shackles, but God can send an earthquake to break everything and set me free when I enter into worship and I walk in the presence of God. And though it may seem like the stalls are empty and the cattle stalls are empty and there's no cattle and there's no crop in the fields, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because I know God will fill my baskets full, because that's the promise, and that God will take care of me. Amen. Let's just join together in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, God, for speaking to our hearts this morning. Thank you for supernatural provision. When we don't see it, when we don't feel it, when we think there is no way, you make a way. You make a way. So I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to all the needs right now as we speak the word of God. There are people that have needs in their lives. And I ask in the name of Jesus for divine supernatural provision. I pray blessings on every person listening right now. Lord, I pray that in ways they can't even expect, that the blessings of the Lord begin to come. Even, Lord, through this hard time, Lord, that you will provide blessings and sustenance and strength. I pray for those that are sick and in need of healing in their bodies. I ask in the name of Jesus that you touch them. I ask that your presence come upon them right now. Lord, you're a good God. There are some people that need rain in their life right now. And I pray that you send the rain. I pray that you send the blessings. There are some, Lord, that need to see that ram caught in the thicket. They need to see that you've made provision for what you asked them to do. Lord, I just pray for those that feel like they're at the bottom right now. Lord, that they turn around and they see you have provided a way of rescue. For those who feel like they're shackled and held in bondage and find themselves in prison. Lord, right now, just lift up a praise, lift up a worship, and the earthquake come and break their shackles and bonds. For those who feel like their baskets are empty, I pray, God, that you speak the word and provide supply, just as you did with the oil and the meal that never ran dry. Now, thank you for being with us today, and thank you for your presence. And we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.